is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. The Bloomington City Council is moving ahead with plans to find a developer for a big vacant lot just north of downtown. GLT's Ryan Dunham is in studio with Mayor Terry Renner to recap what happened at last night's meeting and what didn't.
The mayors of Bloomington Normal join us most Tuesdays after regular and special council meetings. Mayor Renner, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
We'll cover what Alderman did do here in a minute, but yesterday was notable for what didn't happen. Hours before a special session that was expected to include a vote on the Welcoming City Immigration Ordinance, you canceled that meeting. Why did you do that?
Well, we did have to kind of go back and forth in the previous weekend of whether or not to decide to do that. It wasn't an obvious decision, but it was quite clear that the ordinance was going to go down and go down big. Several aldermen had said that they had changed their mind on it. And so given that, that's one reason. The other thing is that there are some things that the mayor certainly can do. And those are the things that I did and acted on in a positive way yesterday by issuing a proclamation going as far as I could, saying that Bloomington is a welcoming place, calling on our faith-based groups and others to help get involved, calling on the police chief and the police review board to work on specific protocol in dealing with ICE. And Chief Wheeler, of course, in subsequent interviews, has made it quite clear that he's not only willing to do that, but was going to do that anyway in terms of examining those ideas so that people feel free to report a crime if they've been a victim of a crime or if they see something, that we don't do ICE's work for them. And I think those things are important. And when I listened to Charlotte Alvarez, part of her interview yesterday on GLT, and I think that many of those very same concerns that she expressed were the same kinds of things that Chief Wheeler was willing to do. And so as we move forward kind of on the micro level on the ground with the police review board, I think we can accomplish much of what the coalition was looking for. And I was able to do kind of at the macro level without the power of an ordinance, but it is a proclamation, which is part of the legal record of the city, declaring Bloomington to be a welcoming city, a diverse city. We embrace diversity and that we are a nation and a community of immigrants and that that is a source of strength. And all of the other things that followed with that proclamation. And then again, calling on Chief Wheeler to deal with a lot of the implementation of these issues and work with the police review board.
And I want to get and spend some time talking about the recommendations that you made to the police chief. But we'll take one step back here and talk
sure.
about the Keep Families Together Coalition. So this is a coalition that has lobbied for more than a year to get an ordinance passed, very supportive of the ordinance throughout the process, as you were. But ultimately, Friday, they saw the draft of it and came out against it. Did that surprise you?
Not totally, but it did. I think what surprised me was how strongly they came out against it. But no, it didn't totally surprise me because any ordinance was going to be like threading a needle very, very carefully. There were many council people, for example, we had a mosaic of opinions on our council. There were many people on the council who felt the ordinance went, in fact, maybe even a majority, went way too far. There were some who said, we don't need an ordinance. There were some who thought that it didn't go far enough. And I think the coalition felt that it didn't go far enough. I don't think that it was really fundamentally different from the ordinance that was supported in the town of Normal.
Gotcha. So you're trying to thread that needle. Essentially, it just became a little too watered down for the coalition to support.
It was too watered down for the coalition to support, and it had too many teeth for some who probably wouldn't have voted for it unless it was so vague and obtuse that it meant nothing.
Hmm. Well, how do you better communicate with aldermen and those who are advocating for these things so that, you know, the public's time and staff time and, you know, that energy is not wasted on things that ultimately don't lead anywhere? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I don't think that this is something that didn't lead anywhere. I think this ultimately, when it became clear, but before I would have issued a proclamation or called on Chief Wheeler to deal with implementation, it had to be clear that the council was not going to act. Right. So I don't think that it was one, a waste of time, or two, that something didn't happen as a result of it. We're in the process of going to see to make sure that something happens. But when you're dealing with a sensitive subject and people change their minds at the last moment, there's not much you can do about that. There's no additional number of phone calls is going to change that. Nothing is really going to shift. Certainly, I talked to members of the coalition last week several times in many different forums, either directly or through text messages or email. I talked with, indirectly, Chief Wheeler, our legal counsel, members of the council, and ultimately, we do have something that, and also ran much of the language. Some of the language was suggested by members of the council in the proclamation, by the way. So I think that we have a proclamation that is a policy guide that does declare Bloomington's core values as a welcoming city. And that if you see a crime, regardless of whether or not your visa is expired or whatever, call the police and report it. If you've been a victim of a crime, call the police and report it. We do understand, I think, and recognize that issue. Now, whether or not it should be an ordinance and what wording in the ordinance should be there, that's, as I mentioned and you kind of repeated that metaphor of threading the needle. The threading and the needle in this might have been possible. At this point, I don't know what that could have looked like.
And so you talked about aldermen who were maybe changing their minds or undecided until the very last minute. So you don't think that this episode reflects on your ability to build coalitions around sensitive subjects and tough issues like this?
Well, I don't think there are any other issues quite like this. We did get a welcoming city ordinance. We didn't get the welcoming city ordinance, but we did get a police review board. And in fact, the thing that I get from people from throughout the from mayors from throughout the country is, how in the world did you get that through? And so I kind of walked them through how we managed to get that through. In many ways, there are fewer metro cities that have the kind of police review board that we have than have welcoming city ordinances. Welcoming city ordinances, is if you go online, you can find all kinds of examples. I don't want to say they're a dime a dozen to suggest that they're meaningless. I'm saying it's not hard to find cities that have welcoming city ordinances. It's very hard to find cities that have police review boards. And I think it's because we had the first that it made the proclamation that I issued yesterday have more substance. So we've had two of these. I mean, I suppose you could say, my batting average is 0.5. I don't know that that's the case. These were both very, very difficult issues to get through the council and to get support from in the community.
So yesterday, when you canceled the special session and the proclamation was issued and you issued a statement about why you were canceling the meeting, you said that you were going to be directing the police chief, or not directing, you were going to be recommending that the police chief, Clay Wheeler, develop policies and guidelines for how his officers interact with ICE as it relates to immigrants. But I do want to ask, since the police department does report to the city manager, not to mm-hmm. the mayor, what role should the council and the mayor have in this kind of stuff, especially since the council's not really unified on this issue?
I think the council on some – whether or not you have an ordinance and its specific language, the council may not be unified. But I think that the council is unified in that they would like to see more proper training. I think that they would like, obviously, they want to promote public safety to the extent that people feel free to call the police when they are victims of a crime or they see a crime. And that's where I think we can get the nature of what is united, what brings us together. And the other thing is while technically what you said is true, the boss of the city manager is the mayor and the city council, and the chief elected executive is the mayor. The mayor does have residual executive power. That does not include the power to hire and fire the police chief, but it certainly has, the mayor, for example, has, in Bloomington at least, the power of a veto, power of a line item veto, and also what we might call the mass media power. But I think there are quite a few resources, most of which I have chosen not to use, that are certainly at my disposal, that I certainly could use, or a future mayor could use, and that makes them the chief elected executive. So it is a delicate balance, and we do have a separation of powers for a reason.
So what happens if police come back with a policy that is status quo, as shown by past emails? A communication with ICE will be routine, low level, and without oversight by high level administrators.
I can't imagine that's going to happen.
You think there'll be some evolution in it?
Absolutely. I don't think there's any. And I think Clay Wheeler's interviews with the press yesterday, he went even further than I think that I would have expected given our conversations.
Given your conversations, when do you expect something like this to actually be developed and, as you put it, widely disseminated?
Well, I think that this isn't, it's not a specific date. This is happening today, right? I mean, this is beginning now. We will have to set a date for the police review board to begin to meet, and they may need to meet several times to kind of bounce off ideas amongst themselves and the police chief. So certainly several months, but I see this as an ongoing issue because let's face it, Bloomington and Normal are not changing. We're not a static target. Immigration is not going to stop tomorrow. Immigration isn't going to freeze. We are going to be a different community a year from now or 2 years from now or 5 years from now than we are right now. And so those are the things that we have to understand, and that this is, I see it as a continuing process. So I think, but in terms of what we will hear, I'm sure in the next several months, once the police review board comes forward, we'll begin to hear some ideas and recommendations come forth. But I would see this as a continuing process that the chief and the council and the city manager and the police review board continues to work on.
This is GLT's Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Mayor Renner of the city council last night approved a marketing agreement with Illinois Wesleyan University, that's your employer, to seek bids for the former Mennonite Hospital and Electrolux site on Main Street. So if you're new to town, that's the big vacant plot of land that's just north of downtown by the Thorntons there. So, Mayor, what are you hoping will happen there at that site?
I would like to see something that is the quote unquote highest and best use of the land. What does that mean, right? I mean, that's the jargon, and it could be light retail, and that's perhaps one of the targets on the first floor. Perhaps some sort of housing, apartments. One developer at one point had fairly elaborate plans for a second wave of townhouse development that would be closer to Franklin Park. Whatever the it is, we need to make sure that it is an engine of economic growth and that it is a critical anchor along our Route 66 and Main Street corridor, right next to the oldest park in the city of Bloomington, and that's, of course, Franklin Park. So I have, as long as those boxes are checked, I'm open to just about anything.
And Electrolux has been gone now since 2015. The city has owned that property since 2016. Why has it taken so long to get to this point of stepping toward this agreement with Illinois Wesleyan and moving toward an RFP?
That's a very good question, to which there's only a complicated answer. First of all, I wanted it to happen. In fact, I believe Mike McCurdy asked me questions about this in 2013 and 2014 before we owned the land. I wanted everything to happen, of course, yesterday. Now, that might be a little unrealistic because I like things to happen immediately. My motto is do it now. But I was told by the previous city manager, Mr. Hales, that we would have an RFP, request for proposals, ready and out by February of 2017. So that's almost a year and a half ago. Obviously, that did not happen. When I asked, there were a variety of reasons. And then this did ultimately, some of this had to be approved. Of course, the memo of understanding had to be approved by Illinois Wesleyan University. But mostly, I would say that it's on the city. And we need to have a stronger culture of just getting things done within the city of Bloomington. Frankly, it's an embarrassment when people have asked me. I've been talking about this for 5.5 years. We've owned it for well over 2 years. Why isn't something happening? It is something I discussed with the new city manager at length. If you're so busy you can't do it, then contract that out. It's not rocket science. You know, if we were asking somebody to do something so complicated that it would require some specialist from someplace, it'd be different. But you could get any number of firms in Chicago or Springfield or whatever, or even Peoria, to just do, maybe even in Bloomington, to do an RFP for us. And so hopefully this will happen as expeditiously as possible. That was a meeting. That was a meeting I had just before I came here to try to nudge or push things along.
When the city owns land all over downtown, most recently acquiring some parking lots formerly owned by Frontier, why aren't there more RFPs kind of floating around out there for some of these properties that you guys have?
Well, just to back up, there really are only, other than the Frontier lots that you've mentioned in downtown, the only other lot that we have that we could do an RFP on that's sort of downtown is the Coachman property. And there's another piece that we acquired, I believe it was 0.56 of an acre, maybe it was 0.96 of an acre that we acquired. And so that's now partly, or that's in a TIF. And so we wanted to see that that work was done before we sent out an RFP for that project. We don't want RFPs necessarily for the Frontier lots at this point until we see what other developments are happening. But you can park on the Frontier lots, and that's pretty clear. We're certainly moving forward in downtown with more proper signage on the properties that we do own. Again, we acquire properties for a variety of reasons. We might acquire a property so that we can do something with it ourselves. We might acquire a property like Electrolux that we, in a sense, want to flip. We want somebody else to do it, or the Coachman lot that we want to flip. So there are a variety of reasons. Again, if you really broadly define downtown, the former Sugar Creek packing plant is the only other piece of property that we've acquired since I've been mayor, in that area. And right now that's, if you see, it's part of parking for Public Works. Eventually we will be relocating Public Works as the library will inevitably expand.
And you've talked about being aggressive from a timing perspective now moving forward. You've been a little bit unhappy with how long it's taken to get to this point. But how aggressive do you think the city should be when it comes to incentives on this project off Main Street here? How aggressive do you want to be, frankly?
Well, I would say, depending on the nature of the project, if it is a game-changing project, then I think we should be very aggressive. But by very aggressive, let's be clear, we are not talking about taking any tax money that we currently have. Any project in our economic development has to pay for itself. So right now, that lot is generating zero tax dollars for property taxes because we own most of it. And Illinois Wesleyan owns, as a nonprofit, the rest of it. So any increment, let's say somebody put a $25 million project on it. I mean, that would be probably the high end. They're going to be paying a lot of property taxes. We, depending on what that is, if we judge that to be, its economic impact and spillover for the immediate area to be very substantial, then we might be willing to go a full distance and even use a TIF. We might only say, maybe 10 years of a TIF, or maybe no TIF. If you've got a lot of retail, we'll rebate you some taxes. But the money has to be generated from your investment, Mr. Investor.
Since your last visit, Alderman Diana Howman announced that she will not be seeking re-election next spring. My colleague Eric Stock here interviewed her about that, and she just sounded frustrated, about her own lack of impact as an alderman and by what she described as a lack of leadership, even on your part. So what did you think of her comments and her reasoning behind stepping away next year?
Well, obviously that's up to her. I can't do what all of 9 aldermen tell me that I should do or want to do. And I think Diana should be applauded, for example, for being really the only alderman of the 9 who does what virtually every alderman in Normal does, and that is goes to the Illinois Municipal League, goes to the National League of Cities, has some, so they can have some broader comparative context of what they're doing in their job, right? You can't run a $215 million a year operation if you're not talking to similarly situated people and getting new ideas. And for a variety of reasons, that's just a very important thing. So I think, I would applaud Alderwoman Howman for that. And I certainly have appointed her, to several things, including our One Voice trip. And so certainly there are some things that I have confidence in her on. But yes, there are some things that obviously she would have wanted that I did not accommodate. I didn't agree with her on everything. Obviously, even though I appointed her, she did run against me in the last mayoral election. So I think that, there are definitely going to be some differences. But you know, we work together well, I think. I do agree, though, with her that the council does need to figure out how to work together more effectively. We are not as functional as Normal, for example. Normal talks to each other. You know, Normal understands when you come to a meeting, you come there to act, and that is make decisions. That's not have been the culture long before I was even mayor on the Bloomington City Council. The previous mayor had similar kinds of issues and problems with kind of the culture on the council. And I think some of that is because of our ward system. When you've got 9 people elected from a collection of neighborhoods, nobody gets more than a few hundred votes. And they're managing they're making policy. That's different, like in Normal, where everybody has the same constituents. In Bloomington, nobody does, right? All the 9 wards are mutually exclusive, and I get everybody. So, you know, I or whoever the mayor, you know, the next mayor would be, and mayor after that. So the mayor has to represent everybody, and is the chief executive officer. So that is inevitably going to create some degree of tensions. But I do agree with her. I'm very frustrated with the process of the council. And that's why I recommend that they go to the Illinois Municipal League and other things.
Well, Mayor Renner, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
I'm Ryan Denham.
The mayors of Bloomington Normal join us most Tuesdays after regular and special council meetings. Next week, Mayor Chris Coos will be in studio.